Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program on a wonderful Thursday morning right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We pray that you are going to have a great day. I pray that you will stay hydrated, stay as sheltered as you possibly can. For those of you who are working in the elements, we are not only wanting to encourage you spiritually, but we're going to be praying for you that God keeps you safe. Watch yourself out there. I don't want you to get overheated, and so we want to thank you for the job that you do and the services you provide. Brevard County is a beautiful place because of what you do, so thank you. To the roofers, we thank you. To the landscapers, we thank you. To those people who are out there mowing yards and working on the power grid and, concrete workers and construction crews, air conditioning repairmen, all of you are no matter what your trade set, mechanics, all of you are a blessing, and we honor you today in the name of the Lord. So once again, just want to remind you, we've got a missionary that is going to be with us Sunday morning at Merritt Assembly of God. Normally, I teach Sunday school at 9:30. I preach at 10:30. And then we have a prayer meeting on Sunday night. This week, someone is filling in for me in Sunday school. Got a missionary that is sharing the word on Sunday morning at 10:30. And there will not be a service on Sunday night because of a grandbaby that is being dedicated to the Lord outside of our area. And so we're traveling up there to celebrate and be a part of that glorious occasion. So we will be back, and hopefully it'll be a great season of refreshing while we are away. So there's, like I said on yesterday's program, there are a lot of interesting things in the book of Job, and one of them is Job was not tempted by a lot of things that other people were. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to be looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at. I'm not going to be looking at people that I shouldn't be looking at. I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes that I'm only going to do things that I should be focused on. And so he wasn't tempted by the parties that his kids threw or anything like that. He was using those as opportunities to intercede for them. He wasn't interested in stealing from other people because God had blessed him to a great degree. But his point of temptation was he felt like he was more just than God, that he was more righteous than God, that he would not do to himself the things that were taking place in his life and that he had ascribed to God doing them to him when it was actually the enemy doing those things to him. And I will just tell you, God knew what was in Job's heart more than Job knew what was in Job's heart. God knew what was in Job's heart more than the devil knew what was in Job's heart. And whenever those issues come out, they're to be dealt with. And so that's really what is taking place here in the end part of the book of Job, is God is educating Job not to berate him or beat him down or condemn him, but to give him greater perspective on the greatness of God and the greatness of God when it comes to loving Job. And God still speaks favorably of Job at the very end of the chapter and blesses him beyond anything that he had known before. So I have this question. What is temptation look like for you? Okay, so if you were to see this particular studio that I am in right now, it has got this massive counter space there's probably 20 feet of counter space that is, you know, a couple of feet deep. It's just really impressively large. Now, there's equipment all over it and places that equipment used to be, so you don't get to utilize all of that space. But I want you to know that if you took this counter and you stacked it high with drugs, that would be of no temptation to me whatsoever. When you've had a few relatives that have died and drug deals gone bad, all of a sudden drugs aren't enticing to you. When you have friends who and relatives who ended up spending time in jail because they broke the law for selling drugs, that doesn't look all that good. When you know what the end of the road looks like, all of a sudden that beginning doesn't look nearly as tempting. The same thing is true with alcohol. I mean, you could put the world's fanciest alcoholic beverage in here, and it would be of no enticement to me whatsoever. You could put the cheapest alcohol in here, and that would not be of any enticement to me at all, because I've had multiple relatives that died from alcoholic-related consequences, and I've had a relative who's was a pastor, and he was an alcoholic before he became a pastor. Then he became a pastor that was an alcoholic, or he was a alcoholic. Then he became a pastor. Then he became a pastor who was an alcoholic, and then he when he died, he was just an alcoholic again. No temptation. No temptation. I think my whole life I had one drink, one sip of something, and it was disgusting. And people say, well, it's an acquired taste. Well, I don't need to acquire it. I know what the end result looks like. I've known believers who were bound by alcohol before they got saved, and God delivered them from that. But by the time they got there, the damage to their body was so much that they gave up the ghost. I know people that whose ministries have been shattered because they were tempted by alcohol. I'm not here to condemn people who have that issue in their life. I'm just saying, for me, that temptation is no temptation at all. Wouldn't matter if the whole room was filled with the world's most expensive champagnes. No interest whatsoever. There are a lot of other social sins that are taking place. No interest in those things whatsoever. But I thought I would give you just an insight. I was talking with a local businessman that I used to work with. It's been almost 20 years. It has been 20 years since he and I worked together, but we still remember one another and cross paths every once in a while. And I was talking about, that not all of my behavior, I asked the question, are you behaving yourself? And a lot of people say, oh, yeah. And I said, well, I always behave. It's just that my behavior is not always good behavior, but it's behavior nonetheless. And he said, yeah, what? Do you eat too much pizza? Well, pizza is not one of my favorite foods. I do eat it, but there is some pizza that I really, really like. And so here back on the 4th of July weekend, we saw a commercial for pizza. Now, my wife does like pizza. We don't eat it much. It's not good for her. It's not good for me. But she does like pizza. And so we had been trying to figure out what we were going to do on the 4th of July, and I saw that pizza commercial, and I said, you know what? There is a pizza place over in Orlando that I really do like their pizza. I've only eaten there a couple of times, but it has sentimental reasons as well as the quality of food reasons. And I said, hey, I know that, I'm trying to to lose weight here, and so we're trying to, you know, cut out our carbs. But what did you feel about, you know, going over there and over to Orlando and getting some pizza and coming back? She said, ooh, and then whatever we don't eat, we could freeze. And I said, yeah, do you want to go over and do that? And she said, well, we could if you want to. I said, do you want to go? And she said, no, we're not going. Because that would have derailed me from my mission of losing weight. And so I don't know what your temptation. Job's temptation was to consider himself better than God. I don't want to succumb to any temptation, no matter how it fits onto the scale of morality versus immorality or versus amorality. I don't want to be addicted to anything that is going to impact Jesus. So I want to thank God today for a wife who helps me in my battle with temptation to make sure that I don't lose. And I pray that whatever yours is, that you will surround yourself with a pastor, with men, with women, whichever fits your social dynamic. You know, if you're a lady, I encourage you to surround yourself with ladies that are going to help you to achieve victory over your temptation. Men, I encourage you to surround yourself with men of God who will help you get the victory over your temptation. But whatever you do, don't give in to it. Get victory over it. And no, we did not go to Orlando. No, we did not order pizza. No, we did not have pizza that weekend. We behaved ourselves and got victory over our taste buds. Glory, hallelujah. Let's pick up verse number 8 today. This is in Job 38. We are considering the limitations of united opposition against God. And God here in Job 38:8 says, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. So just one more comment on verse number 11 before we move on. You know, I told you yesterday's program at the end that God sets up boundaries, and that when he has established those boundaries, you don't want to cross those boundaries. Okay? So here, the latter part of verse number 11, it says, here your proud waves must stop. And we've got a huge pride problem in America. Huge pride problem. People are proud of their athletic skills. They're proud of their financial achievements. They're proud of their toys. Proud of what they can do and what they have been able to achieve. But for every single creature, every single person on planet Earth, beyond their abilities, there's God's boundary. And God opposes pride. God hates pride. He hates it outside the church. He hates it inside the church. And he establishes a boundary. And God says, look, I say, okay, this is as far as you go and no further. When Moses was discussing with God, God, I've put up with these people for 40 years in this wilderness, and I had one moment of weakness, and now you won't let me go into the promised land. And God said, look, don't talk to me anymore about this matter. Okay. How many parents out there know that you are the one that establishes the boundaries and the limitations for your children? Not the other way around. If we ever get things out of order, at that point in time, it is considered inordinate, and it creates problems, not blessings. And so I encourage parents, be parents. Be parents. I'm not saying you're supposed to be heartless or mean or cruel or anything like that. Parent the way that you would have wanted to be parented. Parent in such a way that you are training them in the ways of God. Parent in a fair and just manner, but do your job as parents. The good relationships come later. Too many parents are concerned about being the cool parent, the permissive parent, the fun parent, the parent that, you know, everybody wants to be around. Well, let me tell you, there is a horrible downside to not doing your job as a parent, and that is there comes a time when your children start getting to the place and saying, you know, like David. David never told, I believe it was Adonijah, had never told him no. Everything Adonijah ever asked for, he got a yes. I don't know that reality. My parents had no problems telling me no and meaning it. By the way, one thing about Moses. Moses did get to enter the Promised Land in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Jesus was having a meeting up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses was one of those people that was there. So God has reasons for what he does. And I just want to encourage you, don't fight against him. Go along with his plan, because he's smarter than you are, smarter than I am, and he has a way of dealing with pride. If you're in a battle with someone who's extremely proud right now, let me recommend this to you. Pray and ask God to deal with the pride factor, because he's very, very good at it. You and I, we don't want to be people of pride. We want to be humble, because he gives grace to the humble. Verse number 12, here's the next question from God to Job. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? Do you get up in the morning and issue a decree, and all of creation focuses about that? I want you to understand that this is not just about commanding the time on the clock. It is not just commanding, you know, that the sun would rise, because the sun doesn't actually rise. It is due to the rotation of the earth. And there's a whole cosmos that responds to God, because God created a covenant with the sun, the moon, and the stars. Created all of it. And they respond to his command. Can I tell you the best advice that I can give you if you ever encounter a demonic situation? Don't ask the demon's name. Don't care. Don't care how many. But there's twice in the Word of God where this is said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you." And here's why I say that. When God speaks, when he speaks from the throne with an authoritative decree, not the greatest enemy this world has to offer can resist God's command. Okay? So, we don't have that power. You know, somebody asked me, well, what do you have planned for your day? And I said, you know, I wake up every day with a plan. And every once in a while, those plans actually don't get interrupted. I have a plan. My plan is to be flexible, to adapt, overcome, and improvise. But God speaks and things take place. He caused the dawn to know its place that it might take hold of the ends of the earth. And here's an interesting portion of a verse. And the wicked be shaken out of it. Please understand that if you have not been dealt with in your wickedness, that does not mean that you will not be dealt with in your wickedness. There is a day that is coming when God will deal with it. Not only yours, but everybody else's. He will deal with in His time and in His manner, and you and I need to be ready. Verse number 16, let's look there. Have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you commanded the breath of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. So there are three things there. Have you touched? Have you gone to the greatest depths that this world has to offer? And there may be some submarines that have been down there. I happen to know a submariner who was in the Navy and spent his time on that. Special breed of person to be able to get inside of a very confined space and accomplish the mission that they have before them. That takes a special type of person. I want to point out to you the second part, because everything that I know about the depths, the great depths of the earth, is the farther you go down, the less illumination there is. Light cannot penetrate after a very certain depth, and so there's obscured vision. I also know that there's a lot of pressure, that the deeper you go, the more the pressure is that wants to try and crush any vessel that is down there. There's one other thing that I know, and that there are creatures that exist down there that man has yet to discover, that didn't even know. I watched a documentary here not too long ago, and they had gone down to this certain depth, and they discovered that there were creatures there that they didn't know anything at all about, because they didn't even know that they had existed. So there are depths. Technology of man is just now beginning to scratch the surface and allowing us to be able to explore part of the way down there. And here's what I like. Have you walked in search of the depths? God is saying, yeah, I don't. That water doesn't even get up to my ankles in the deepest parts. How great is our God? The next verse. Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? I want you to know, this is not saying, have you not been touched by death, because he had. Job had experienced the death of his kids and many of his servants and things like that. It's one thing to have been touched with it. It's never a pleasant experience. But he says, have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Here's what I can tell you. The psalm says that when God encounters the gates of death, he says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your heads, O you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. There is not a barrier that exists that God is not triumphant over. Jesus today holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He holds it because he conquered those things through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Now, that one there would probably be one of the easier things, one of the more basic things that you could find out. You could get somebody that could get you in relatively close proximity to the dimensions of the earth. That ought to be one of the easiest things. But I want you to know that just because we finally got a box that we could check and say, yep, that one I know. We haven't set ourselves up as a comparable adversary to God. I saw recently where there was, you know, I'd made this story once before that, you know, hey, if you put me up against an NBA player, I'm going to be humiliated. I may not even get one basket. If we played to 100, I might not get a basket. But I tell you what, you throw me up against a five-year-old, and, man, I'm going to be all world. And there are people who are still competing against an unrighteous, unjust standard. But I want you to know something. The standard has been, is, and will always be God. Okay? And when it comes to God, he's not just God in one area. He's God in every area. He's an expert in every occupation, an expert in every field. He knows more than you and I could comprehend. We are just beginning to scratch the surface here. So, have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know not some of this, all of this. How great is our God? Well, let me tell you that he is so great that no matter how much the opposition, or whether you are the best human, Job may very well have been the most righteous person on the earth at that point in time. And God was still infinitely greater than who he was. You may be one of your favorite people. You may be a legend in your own mind. But I'm here to tell you, not me, not you, not any preacher from television or pastor of a megachurch is going to be able to stand. No politician is going to be able to say, man, I am as close to Jesus as you can get. Nobody's going to be able to say that in truth. You and I, every one of us, need Jesus. And today, I just want to continue to give you a little bit of glimpse of how great, how holy, how powerful he is. And he wants to live inside of us. And he wants to lead us and direct us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Never fading, let mercy.